Hello and welcome. And thank you for joining us again today. This is your host, Brother T. Glad to be back with you here on the Best Hour episode on blogtalkradio.com. You can find us at blogtalkradio.com/Course Mastery. And on our website, True Thought Spiritual Community, you can find us at truethought.org, truethought.org. And I'm joined this morning by my beautiful wife, Reverend A. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's nice to see you here.
Wonderful to be here.
Absolutely. We're going to be discussing lesson 356 today, as there's just only about 9 days left in the year as we're closing down the end of the year here. But the point I want to make is let's join together for a brief moment of silence before we begin, and let's take a good deep breath. Sickness is but another name for sin. Healing is but another name for God. The miracle is thus a call to Him.
Father, you promised you would never fail to answer any call your son might make to you. It does not matter where he is, what seems to be his problem, nor what he believes he has become. He is your son, and you will answer him. The miracle reflects your love, and thus it answers him. Your name replaces every thought of sin, and who is sinless cannot suffer pain. Your name gives answer to your son, because to call your name is but to call his own.
Sickness is but another name for sin. Healing is another name for God. The miracle is thus a call to him. And so it is. Again, let's join together for a brief moment of silence before we continue. Let's take a good deep breath. I've worked with some students of A Course in Miracles who completely disregard the body altogether, you know, in an absolute way. This is true. We're not a body. But it's pretty difficult to convince the sleeping self that it's safe at home in bed. It doesn't have any concept of that self. And its experience then, its reality is what it's experiencing in that dimension of imagination. But the imagination still is represented in form. And we seem to be traveling through a world of form and dealing with all of the similar circumstances to this experience in the 3D world we're having right now. And so sickness of the body is something that everyone has issues about and fear of, and financial sickness, relational sickness, and we can talk about any aspect of our life, and we can see that there is dis-ease that can be experienced in all of the aspects of our lives. A Course in Miracles and this teaching is not so much, in my opinion, saying that you just disregard your life here. It means nothing. No, this is the learning ground. This is monumental. This is epic. And what we are experiencing here is very important, because what we're doing is tearing down the construct of illusion so that we know truth even more than we could ever know it before. And we're going through these experiences because we've called this forth for our own learning, our own realization. So the sickness of the body, while it lasts, is an experience that we've called forth. The body is not in control of us. The body does not make demands on us, but it's not so difficult to imagine that it does, but it's reflective of consciousness. So the main purpose of A Course in Miracles is to remove the obstacles to the awareness of the presence of love. God is love. Love is healing. And another name for God. We just keep returning within, practicing the holy instant, and allowing spirit to guide us through whatever trauma and drama we're experiencing, knowing that this too shall pass, And enlightenment is an experience that we're having in each and every moment while we're here and as we continue to journey on our return home.
And so, isn't sickness the game of the ego?
It is indeed.
And kind of a setup to prove that there is death, that there's a God that would be punishing of the child who separated and left. And what gets sick but a body, and the body being the home of the ego to play out its dream, its nightmare, really. Is that correct? Is that how
from my earlier perspective, what I learned from traditional theology was that I was created here, and my existence is here, and my existence ends here, and then I go there, you know, to the other side of death to find out the truth, right? Oh, and to be judged for who I was here. And it's a ridiculous construct, but it sounds reasonable because the ego's foundation is guilt, sin. And so sin is sickness. So as long as we are believing in sin, we're sick. And because we're believing in guilt and believing in something that's not true, the world reflects our belief. The body is simply reflecting that sickness of mind.
So it's not really that the body becomes sick. It's really that the mind is misaligned and mistaken.
Exactly.
Which then, because thoughts are things and beliefs tend to reflect our experience,
The body becomes the repository for those misaligned thoughts.
Right. So then it becomes an opportunity then to turn to God. And what this prayer is saying is that that God will never fail to respond to you turning to God,
right,
to unifying in consciousness, in heart and mind with the mind of God. And the concept of healing, you know, is but another name for God. You know, how I have been taught about healing is that healing is really the revealing of wholeness. It's really the revealing of what already is. And that the time that it takes to heal is just the process or the time for perhaps the body, perhaps the mind, to adjust in time and space.
What I have gleaned, I guess, from my life's work is that all healing is the transcendence of fear. Fear being the foundation, right? Guilt springs forth from fear, you know. And they're two sides of the same coin. Either I did something wrong and I need to be fearful, or I'm fearful. And if I'm fearful, I must have done something wrong, right?
Yeah.
And those are constructs that we've created for ourselves. And so when I think about, you know, a lot of times I would beseech God because I have a diagnosis. And so I want my body to be healed. And so God, you know, heal my body. And God's like, there's nothing to heal there because you're not a body. The only healing that can ever occur is in the mind that believes that it can be a body, that it can be attacked by something outside of itself, that being fear. It's just a manifestation of fear. So it all goes back. It's like Jesus, when he met the person that was on the mat that was crippled, and, you know, he was, you know, he's like, what doth hinder you? In other words, you're not crippled. It's not your body. What's hindering you is your thought, your belief. So when we ask for healing, we're really asking to see truth. We're asking to be bathed in the light of knowing and understanding and knowledge. And when we find ourselves there, like Jesus, I believe, has explained to us now, he's been channeling, you know, through Helen Schokman and through other mediums that have allowed us to get more clarity mm-hmm. in his journey and his crucifixion. He's like, I wasn't in the body. Mm-hmm. You know, he did a talk through Paul Tuttle and, you know, as Raj, and he said, I was sitting up on the hill watching all that was going on, knowing that a miracle was happening.
During
the crucifixion. Mm-hmm. He said, I wasn't in the body. The miracle was that was the moment when there was when the shift in the world began. Mm. And we look now back to that. And he says so much in his work in A Course of Love. He says, I am the accomplishment. Mm-hmm. And since I am the accomplishment, and since we are all in unity together, you were accomplished with me. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're all in this together, but we're not bodies, mm-hmm. right? And it's the letting go of the ego and the mind's, I think it uses pain, and it uses physical pain, and it uses dis-ease to keep us committed to the belief, right? Convinced and hypnotized of the idea that we are form, that we are bodies.
And that we can die.
That's right. And the Course in Miracles is saying, love, once you really see what love is, then you know that you are it, mm-hmm. and it can never die, it can never suffer, and it's not form.
Right. So then when we are faced with sickness in our lives or in the lives of others, which right now during, you know, the COVID experience, we're hearing of so much, you know, sickness right now, and so many lives that have left the planet now attributed to, you know, the coronavirus. And so when we are faced with the concept of sickness, we are still asked to do what we're always asked to do, which is to turn from fear and to turn to God, to love, to Holy Spirit. Right. And we're asking for a miracle that of our own selves, we cannot figure it out. And we don't understand. We can't do this alone. We have to join. And in that joining, in that holy instant, and you know, asking for a miracle, showing, you know, where is the miracle? The miracle reflects God's love. We must turn from the reflection of sin, sickness, and death, and which is fear, and turn to God, turn to love, and trust and know that we're guided and led. And truly in that instant, we are healed, regardless of what the body does.
Yeah.
And I think that some people can misunderstand that healing can occur after what we even see, you know, as the body being released, that it doesn't mean that the healing didn't occur.
Right.
And yet, we also saw the demonstrations of Jesus of healing bodies, right. healing minds, which translated to, you know, bodies in a lived experience. So the answer is still the same. It's still turn to God, turn to love, make ourselves miracle ready through our willingness to practice this.
And I think it's important not to predetermine. We're asking God for love. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important here not to predetermine what we think that looks like.
The healing, what the healing looks
like. Anything.
Yeah.
The ego is not capable. It's like we take our cat to the vet and it doesn't want to get in that box and it doesn't want to get in that car and it doesn't want to go to the vet.
Yeah.
But we're expressing love and healing and support.
Yeah.
It's not capable for the cat in that mind of its that it's operating from to see that.
Right.
Right. And the ego is the same way. It's not capable of comprehending even the thing that it's verbal. That may be perfect for your healing and perfect for your advancement in conscious evolution.
Yeah.
And while I was recently listening to Kryon, and he was like, yeah, this, the a group of people that had passed away pretty quickly, a whole lot of people in this one country. And he was saying what a blessing it was. Okay, what was that? How's that a blessing? Because we have the idea that when we die, we're not living.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a lie, right? Yeah. And as you were just talking about it and a few minutes ago, and it's like, no, that was perfect for them because now they're coming back very quickly, and they're going to be genetically and mentally and consciously able to take the world to a whole different level of consciousness. We're all playing a bigger game here than our little mind wants to. It's always myopically focused on itself. Mm-hmm. It can't comprehend that trip to the doctor, so to speak, that we need. And yeah, it's all good. We need to look at everything or be willing to look at everything that's happening, whether the world calls it good or bad. We need to look at everything from the perspective of the wise monk and say, well, maybe that's good.
Right, right.
Maybe that's not.
Right. Yeah.
We'll just wait and see.
Yeah. We suspend our judgment.
We don't predetermine what the love of God looks like. Mm-hmm. We have no capacity to do that whatsoever.
Yeah.
But we trick ourselves into thinking, well, if God loved me, he would do this.
Right.
He would do that. I enjoy listening to philosophers, but I watched, you know, the few that I've plug into from time to time, they really struggle with that question. How could God allow so much pain and sickness and death if God's loving? And they don't know, they don't yet grasp. Well, I'll just say some don't yet grasp. God's not doing any of this. We are. We're doing it to ourselves. And it's a choice that we've made. Sickness is but another name for sin. Healing is but another name for God. The miracle is thus a call to Him. And so it is. God bless you, mighty companion. Thank you for hanging out with me and my wife here today. We've enjoyed spending time with you. Stay the course. We will return.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions, and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. I send my love over the sea. I send